Zacharias doubts the message, and he's miserable. Zacharias is stricken dumb. Now he's miserable. Elizabeth is happy, but she's hiding. She's miserable. The baby has not moved until Mary arrives 6 months later. She's miserable. Zacharias' mouth opens when he delivers the name John. So now, let's move on. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and his name shall be Jesus. Now, let's get real. Can we get real for a little while? The angel appears to Mary and says, You're highly favored and you're blessed. It'd been awesome if it had stopped there, but now she's going to get pregnant without a man. And she's got to explain this to her fiancé. I think it would have been even better if he'd have said, I'm not going to doubt God. God knows what he's doing. But if it had been me, if I'd have been the angel, I'd have said, Hey, you're highly favored. You're blessed. And get ready, because you're going to be stressed. She was known at this time, once it found out that she was pregnant. There was stuff going around that she was pregnant by Roman soldiers. There was stuff going around that she had given herself up so easy. There was all kinds of junk being talked about her. So carrying the Christ child was not the greatest of all things at that time. So here she is. You know, I think about this. You know, I have people I talk to a minute ago. Every time God blesses me and I get a little ahead, something happens and it takes it zap. What's going on? And I said, you're missing the whole point. God blessed you ahead of the zap so you could handle the zap. Amen? God already gave it to you so you'll be ready, so when it came, you'll be ready to handle it. Well, here it is now. He's giving this to Mary because he knew, although she was going to be stressed, she could handle it. So now, let's just go a little bit further in this story. I'm not going to keep you long. Well, may not keep you long. How about that? First, Mary has trouble believing the angel. She's miserable. Joseph has trouble believing Mary. Woo! He's miserable. They take a trip to Bethlehem. It's 90 to 100 miles. If you do 10 miles a day, which is really getting it, can you imagine taking a pregnant woman 100 miles on the back of a mule, 10 miles a day? Wow. And she's getting ready to have a baby. Miserable. Upon arrival, there was no room in the inn, so they had to wind up going to a cave. Miserable. The shepherds maneuvered in the night to get to them. So their journey, although they were full of joy, the trip was miserable. The wise men traveled 2 years at night to get to them. Well, I said 2 years at night because it took 2 years to get there. By the time they got to Jesus, he was a small child. He was not an infant. And if they're following the star, they've got to travel at night. So here they are. They traveled at night for 2 years. They are miserable. Now watch this. Joseph has a dream, and he's told in the middle of the night, I need you to pick up everybody and move to Egypt in the middle of the night, unexpectedly. Miserable. Herod kills all the male children 2 years and under. The whole place is miserable. We see these little things, how sweet it was, away in a manger and all that. And it is sweet. Yes, it is. But if you were there where the rubber hit the road, you would find out this was not easy. This was hard. This was very hard. And they had to have a lot of trust in God to do all of these things. So they were miserable, but they were blessed. Okay, listen carefully. Never judge your blessing during the process, but by the end product. You hear me? Never judge it while you're going through it, because I promise you there's going to be some things you go through that you're not going to like. But remember, when God is going to bless you, you are the vessel. And after the process of receiving it, you become the conduit. You're the vessel. You receive it. And after you receive it, after He gets you ready to receive it, you become the conduit, and it passes through you and goes to somebody else. After all these people went through what they went through, God blessed every last one of them. And now we are in here today worshiping God because they didn't give up when things were miserable. Amen? They didn't give up when things were hard. They didn't give up when things didn't go their way. They kept moving forward, and God blessed them. So now, here it is. This is misery, is the process that we have to go through. The process makes you tough. The wilderness is there to purge you. It purges your motives. It purges your faith. It purges your fear. But what it's doing is it's preparing you for God to give you a greater blessing. So many times we want to think that God has left us, and He's not left us. You know, the mighty army yesterday. This was something. Mighty army yesterday. Spoon feeding in the long run teaches us nothing but the shape of the spoon. Woo! Spoon feeding in the long run teaches us nothing but the shape of the spoon. Lord, teach me to stand. I wanted to put, Lord, teach us to battle, or Lord, teach us how to do what we got to do. But all I can think of is that one word is stand, because when you stand, there's going to be battles. There's going to be some tough stuff coming your way. And in this last day, know this. Yes, God's pouring out His blessings, but at the same time, we are. If you've looked out the window lately, if you watch TV lately, if you've been to the grocery store lately, the gas station, wherever you go, we're in a battle. And God's raising up a mighty army. Amen? So here, let me, I got a little hit on myself. Let me back up here and read that again. Let's see here. I didn't go on by, keep on. Come on, back up, bro. There you are. But now thus saith the Lord that hath created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, that you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Let's just look at it in a couple other versions here. Okay, some of my favorite versions, the NLT, the New Living Translation. But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you go through the deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And I love this. I love this. But now, God's message, the God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel, don't be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have called your name, you're mine. When you're in over your head, I will be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you, all of Egypt, with rich Cush and Seba thrown in. Wow. God's got you. See, God knows what's best for you. Now, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Let me read that. I have to remember this all the time. I have to remind myself of this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I want to look at the Message version. I don't think the way you think. The way you think isn't the way I work. God's decree, for as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think. Wow. Now, let's go back to Isaiah 4:3 for a minute. I want to break it down. It says, now thus saith the Lord, I created thee, O Jacob. Y'all say produce. Create. Say create. All right. Jacob means supplanter. Jacob means heel catcher. Jacob means deceiver. Liar. God created him and he wanted to bless him. But before he could bless him like he really wanted to bless him, he had to make him miserable. Some of y'all think about that right now in your own life. And before God could bless Jacob to the point that he really wanted to bless him, to become the father of the tribes of Israel, he had to do a work in his life because he was the deceiver, the supplanter, the liar, the trickster, self-consumed. And so, he created him, O Jacob. He created him. That word created means to produce or to create them. But he said, I'll form thee, O Israel. Wow. Y'all say reproduce. Recreate. Say recreate. So, in between those two words is a whole There's a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, Genesis is full of chapters and verses between Jacob and Israel. Wow. Because in order for God to really bless Jacob like he wanted, Jacob had to be ready, and he wasn't ready. Some of y'all in here are wondering, how come they're being blessed over there, but I'm not being blessed over here? Or why is everybody talking about how blessed everybody is, and it seems like while everybody else is being blessed, it feels like I'm getting dumped on. Sometimes, without even knowing it, you're in the process of going from Jacob to Israel. You're in the process. God is changing you. You're on the potter's wheel. You're spinning. Your life seems out of control because you're on the potter's wheel. But God is changing you. He's recreating you and he's making something special out of you. And just to throw it in to let you know that it's going to be okay, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what's going on right now. Don't be afraid that you're in the process from going from Jacob to Israel. Don't be afraid. I know what I'm doing. But he says, also, I have redeemed thee. In other words, I'll say purpose. He's already paid the price. He's paid the price, but you're still having to go through because if you don't go through, can you imagine somebody coming out of medical school without going through all the internship and all the other preparatory ways? They just come right straight out of medical school and start a surgery business. Who'd want that? Who wanted to go to a dentist that's in his third year of dental school and he wants to do a major reconstruction on your face? When Bethany had all that work done to her face, because when her stepfather slapped her face in the wall at 2 years old, it broke her growth plate. And her face was flat. And it grew like, they called her bulldog. I hated it. But at school, those mean people at school, those mean kids would call her bulldog because she had the cradle big jaw. It's because this didn't grow. And in a 6-hour surgery at UNC, the dental surgeons cut her whole jaw off and slid it forward over a 1/2 inch. And then they titanium bolted it together. And then they put it back together And it took her months before she could ever chew hard food again because of that. And I asked that surgeon, I said, "So you're a dental surgeon?" He said, "Yes, sir, I'm a dental surgeon." And I said, "What have you operated on?" I mean, you can't even cut my daughter's mouth open. He said, "Man, I've done hernias. I've done appendix." He said, "I've been in with general surgeons in my training, and I've done all kinds of surgeries." He said, "I promise you, you have nothing to worry about. Plus, standing over my shoulder is the number one surgeon in the world." How do you think all those guys got that way? They jump right out of school, number one in the world. Jump out of school and they're ready to cut a girl's mouth open. They pulled her wisdom teeth out from the top. When they opened her up, they just went and pulled her wisdom teeth out. He said it was easy. I just reached in and pulled them out. Ugh. Those doctors are blessed to be a blessing. Some of y'all have no idea of the blessing you're going to be to so many people. But before you can be that blessing, God's got to transform you from Jacob to Israel. Don't be afraid. He's got you. The world's turned upside down right now. It's because you're on the spinning wheel. Yeah, you might even get a little sick. It's okay. You're on the spinning wheel. He's redeemed you. You're His. He says, "Look, I've called you by name. I called you when you were Jacob, and now I'm calling you when you're Israel. Thou art mine." Y'all say possession. "When thou passest through the waters," I look at it again, think about it. "When thou passest through the waters, I'll be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt be burnt. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Why? Because it's during this process God is moving you from Jacob to Israel. And just like that dentist, wow, just like that dentist, he looked like he was about 15. I'm sorry, that since he got a driver's license. And there he was with the number one surgeon in the world, dental surgeon in the world, and they're going to cut our baby's mouth in a 6-hour surgery. But in a 6-hour surgery, they gave her a perfect bite. Y'all remember when she come back how good she looked once the bandages come off? Some of y'all got some of that stuff going on. You got to do some surgeries. You got to do some stuff. You got to be blessings to people. But in order to be a blessing to somebody, you got to go through the waters. You got to go through the rivers. You got to walk through the fire. You got to feel the flame kindle up. But when you get through with this thing, and then you're going to have to wrestle with God. But I promise you, when you get through this, and when God says you're no longer Jacob, but you're Israel, it's amazing what's going to happen. I told you, this isn't the normal Christmas message. Seasons of misery. I've looked at my own seasons of misery. Here's something I've realized. I realized, number one, that it helps us realize our own limitations. Number two, it causes us to reach out to God for help. We got to reach to Him. We can't do it on our own. It reveals God, His saving grace and His strength. And it causes an adjustment. It helps us to adjust our attitude. God, without you, we can't do this. But God, with you, we can do anything. You know, we used to tell Maddie when we first got Maddie, "Do it afraid, Maddie. Do it afraid. Do it afraid. Do it afraid. I know it's scary, Maddie, but do it afraid. Do it afraid." And then God spoke to me and said, "Why don't you try taking some of your own advice? Do it afraid. Do it when you don't feel worthy. Do it when you don't feel like you got it, you're able. Do it when you feel like you ain't got it." Because when you start working through your fears, as you start working through your fears, God's hand reaches out to us. We're waiting for God's hand to reach out, and God says, "No, my hand's not going to reach out till you come forward through that fear, and I'm transforming you from Jacob to Israel, I'll grab your hand. I'll pull you through. You will not be hurt. And you're going to be a blessing to so many people. Understand this. God's still in charge. He has your best interest at heart. His timing is always perfect. And when you don't know His plan, when you can't see His hand, you can always trust His heart. What I have found out is, I've learned to thank God for my miserable blessings. Because they often lead to a time of hope, a time of second chances, a time of redemption, and a time of promises fulfilled. God hadn't forgot you. God sees you. God knows what you're going through. And God's got a plan. And you're in that plan. And God's going to use you to be a blessing to so, so, so many people. Let's all stand. Brandon, come play something softly, bro. I was counting it up, and I've been in school about 12 years. And each time I was going through something, learning something, either biblically, pastorally, or counseling and psychology, every time I was going through something, it seemed like I knew it was going to happen. God would put me in some kind of training that taught me how to get through it and to trust Him along the way. And I thank God because He told me one day, yes, you've gotten some schooling, but your real education comes when you start putting it to work. And I thank God for all the times He took my Jacob and turned it through a process to His Israel. Mary is so blessed. Joseph, so blessed. The wise men, so blessed. All those people in the Christmas story are so blessed. But at the time, there was a lot of stress. But the outcome saved the world. Today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, first let me ask, is there any of you here today that would say, look, I don't know Jesus. I don't know as my Savior. I don't know what He can do. I just know that I need Him. With nobody looking around, would you slip that hand up? I'll make an example of you. Just slip that hand up. Maybe you're here today and you would say, you know what? I found myself in some of those times of misery, didn't realize that God was bringing an Israel out of me. Didn't realize he was taking a Jacob from me and bringing an Israel out of me. I got scared and I backed down and I'm not where I should be with God now because I didn't understand that principle. That when I can't see his hand, I can trust his heart. And I'm talking to you right now and you're not as close as you should be because in the process, and the misery started, you back down, but you're ready to get back up. Nobody looking around, every eye closed. Would you put that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Maybe you're here today and you're in that miserable season. It hurts. It's uncomfortable. The world's spinning around. Sometimes you feel like it's all you can do to hold on. Because the wheel's spinning. I want you to remember this. Whenever this is happening, God is pulling the Jacob out of you and pulling you through to Israel. It's not a one for done. It happens time and time and time again in your life. God pulls you from the Jacob and pulls you to Israel. We can look at the Christmas story and know that good things came in the end because they were patient, every last one of them, and did what they were supposed to do and never gave up. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in a season of misery, you just need God to bolster you. And hopefully today, you got a clear understanding. Maybe God's pulling the Jacob out of you and pulling you through to Israel, the prince with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you say, I'm in that miserable predicament, but I'm going to trust God. Just pray for me because I'm going to trust him no matter what. Put that hand up. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him no matter what. Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord. Bless him. Bless him, Father. Bless him. God, something special is taking place right now. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you that you have a plan for us. And I thank you, God, that you love us enough not to leave us in a Jacob position, but you're willing to bring Israel out in us. I ask you right now to help me to reach up, to hold on, not to let go in this process, knowing that Israel is coming out of this. I may be miserable now, but you got this, and I trust you for what's coming. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Tuesday night, all that can, please come on, come to church. We're going to talk about, we need people to remember, we always need people to walk the parade, you know, and we need people to even help out with some floats. And this year's been kind of crazy because the person who spearheaded this, well, there was two people that spearheaded it. One's been sick this year, and that's Rhonda, and the other one was Jeannie. And you never realize how much you miss somebody until they're not here. And she grabbed that bull by the horns. And I'd go by her office sometime, and she had those horns, and she was bringing it down. And she said, Pastor, I ain't doing this next year. Next year, come along. She said, I know. Give me the book. And I see her wrestling it down. She goes, I ain't doing this anymore. And I say, next year comes. She says, I know, give me the book. Well, now, she's in a different kind of parade. But the angel band is awesome. She's seeing the Christ child for real this year. Think about all of our loved ones that's going on. Bethany, wow, I can just see her. And Maddie, her dog Maddie. I can see them running all around. And I can see them go and say, come on, Miss Jeannie, let's go. But she's going to be the one we're going to dedicate this parade to. So let's do something. Let's make it good. Okay? This is going to honor her. And we want it to look good to honor her. Amen? So it's going to be good. And God's going to do something special. I believe it. Because of COVID and all the restrictions, we're not going to have stuff over there. We're going to do Santa like we do up here. But you can donate candy to be thrown. You can bring a little gift if you want to that we can give away. There's all kinds of things you can do. You can help put things together. But let's get it going, because I know, you know, somebody said, well, you're a Lenten, you wait till the last minute. The funniest thing that ever happened, DC and Daniel were having the parade, and while the parade is lining up, DC and Daniel build a float. While it's lining up. And somebody hollered, said, what are they doing over there? I said, I think they're building a float. They said, do they realize they're in that line? I said, they're making their daddy proud. Lenten, you break up the etymology of Lenten. Somewhere it's got last minute. Amen. We're going to have a good time. And all during the week, you can call me, you can call Don. You want to do something? Just say, I want to do something. We're going to find something for you to do. There's absolutely, anybody says they want to do something, we will find something for you to do. Remember, this is going to be dedicated to Jeannie. Okay? And we want this to really be good for Jeannie. Okay? We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, I want you to dismiss us in prayer, Brother Steve. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.